Things Unsaid, Episode 9, Key Information. Are definitely her keys.
Minus the ones to the car.
Yeah. Cole, Dad, and I searched for an hour before we even called you. Thought maybe there was stuff we'd missed in the yard. Dad would be digging up half the garden if it wouldn't have looked even more sketchy at this
hour.
Call
me right away next time. Just on the off chance this is someone else contacting your family, I want to make sure you stay safe.
Oh. Yeah, for sure. Sorry.
It's fine. Fingerprints just came back. I left a message at your dad's work. No unfamiliar prints were lifted, so that's good.
How so?
One, it dramatically limits the chances that someone else was involved in her disappearance. Abigail Gilbert most likely left alone, of her own accord. That improves the odds of her safety, which brings us to point B. Even if it wasn't premeditated, this was a decision that was clearly thought through. At least her departure and the note are signs that she went somewhere intentionally.
So because she was one, alone, and B... Wait... One and B?
Oh, it's late. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, but what does it all mean?
That? I don't know quite yet. It points to her not traveling far. Though what does she define as far? We've searched this entire radius. But if we shift the radius to match the subject of her investigations... Well... I'm sorry. I'll reference everything all over again tonight. I'll see what I overlooked.
Nah.
Sorry?
Get some sleep, Wilson. We can both get a fresh start tomorrow.
But if Abigail...
Take care of yourself. You look tired. Overworking yourself isn't going to do anyone a favor, Detective.
It's Benjamin.
Huh?
Call me Benjamin. We're practically the same age, and I think once I unlock the station in my pajamas after hours for someone to peruse archived fingerprints with me, we've reached first names.
Fair enough. Who were all these people? Notable officers?
Kinda. The Wall of Fame.
Another Wilson! Is that your dad?
Huh. Oh, yeah. Captain Benjamin Wilson when he was promoted to the captain of the force.
Oh, wow. So you're a junior?
I'm actually the third.
Oof. I mean...
No. I hate it.
I guess he's why you're doing this?
Yeah.
Is he proud of his boy wonder?
I'd like to think so.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's fine. You couldn't have known. There's a plaque for him in the lobby since he was born and raised here.
I thought it sounded familiar.
You might remember the news stories, too. You were probably entering middle school.
I don't, sorry.
Maybe that's better. I don't really want my whole career being summed up with the kid who got a job because his dad died at work.
How can someone who works as hard as you possibly believe that?
Why do you think I do all this? I just have to know I'm the one making this happen.
You're doing great.
Since when?
No, really. We're in an impossible situation for everyone. It was unfair of them to give it to you, and it was unfair of me to make those assumptions. But I've seen the effort you put in, and now I can't really think of a much better person to work on this case.
I have a lot to prove, and not just to you.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
I get it. I probably wouldn't trust me based on introduction alone. And most people don't understand how I got where I am so fast.
How did you climb the ladder so quickly?
Self-advocacy? I didn't want to drown in archival junk, filing, following up on people. I just made sure I was the top candidate for everything. My boss was eager to take me along on the ugly cases, which got me experience in the field, and I was already king of the paperwork side of things, or I thought I was before this.
Now that I can believe. I'm sure you hear it a lot, but I bet he would be proud of you.
Thanks. but everyone will be happier if we figure this out. I'll get back to work and you should too.
Ugh, fine. Oh, but Dad wanted me to give you all of our cell numbers. The landline is acting up again.
Oh, gotcha. Here, write them down.
For sure. Cool. Now I've gotta go. I almost forgot those federal agency guys are coming to work early in the morning.
Oh, from the facility a few miles south of town?
You know them too?
Yeah, they come in about once a month. It was hell when I was working in archives.
That's what I do now, when I'm not recording my own stuff.
Well, Godspeed.
Thank you, kind sir.
Please leave before we have to commit to talking like this.
Good idea. Night. Week 9.
A really slow week right up until the end. Elise, Maggie, and I had an overdue movie night at Elise's. They have the newest TV set, and the living room is set up better for me to see the screen and their interpretations. I packed an overnight bag the night before, just in case we all decided to stay the night. Talk of college was supposed to be off-limits, to kick off the last relatively stress-free time of our foreseeable future. It went pretty well during the film, since the girls would trade off signing for me. I'd been wanting to see The Breakfast Club for a while, so when it finally came out, my allowance went out the window. It's a good arrangement. I buy the movies, Elise and Maggie help me understand it. The movie ended and spirits were high, so conversation obviously turned to boys. Maggie's still dating Ethan and going strong, making it very boring to poke fun at after so many months. But our mercy at not attacking her didn't stop her from accusing me of talking to Tommy far more than I used to, or what Elise thinks is strictly necessary. Apparently, I was too occupied with him at both dinner and the dance itself to notice what Elise described as something starting with Josh and Sarah Marie. An unfounded claim, in my opinion, as I did notice, and so did Tommy. It is his twin, after all. To be honest, I just didn't care. But my journalistic evidence failed me in their company. It backfired twice over when I tried to deflect onto Elise, who resolutely proclaimed that she had officially given up on men forever. No male could reach her standards, apparently, so it wasn't worth the struggle. Maggie and I agreed that it seemed like a strong statement, so we'll see how long it holds up. It's not like she's acting like she's above us, just that she isn't concerned like us. At this point, we had put in a second movie, and Elise disappeared for a few minutes. Maggie pounced immediately to ask whether I did in fact like Tommy, because apparently he brings me up a lot in band class. My heart sped up in something like panic. I had finally been fully cornered and felt every bit of it. I couldn't just say yes or no, because obviously everyone will talk as soon as they're parked in the school's lot on Monday. But with no way out, I answered in the affirmative. Maggie crowed with delight, causing Elise to run back into the room and scold us both, which I find distinctly unfair. It didn't matter, though, in the end, because Elise produced a bottle of wine from her basement that she insisted wouldn't be missed, and we each had a full serving. I've never found the stuff to my taste. Any sip of alcohol I've tried is too bitter, and wine in particular leaves my mouth dry. But Elise is a force to be reckoned with when determined. Maggie was hell-bent on watching Ghostbusters again, but Elise wanted something with more action or suspense. I agreed we should avoid comedies, because tiredness and alcohol do not work in either of my friends' favor when it comes to translating jokes into sign properly. Elise revealed at this point that Jaws was apparently not enough for her, and she had purchased The Shining on her own. She said it was one of the best things she'd ever seen in theaters, but just looking at the picture on the VHS box gave me chills. Apparently, our discussion grew a little heated because both Maggie and Elise suddenly paled and looked at the hallway. Maggie dove to hide the contraband wine behind the couch, and Elise turned off one of the lamps to dim the room. Elise's dad came in and said to keep it down, because her younger sister was already sleeping and he and Mrs. Baum were turning in now. He spoke to Maggie, who nodded, and motioned for me to follow. She went to the phone and held it out for me to dial my mom. It had gotten late enough during their chatting that Mr. Baum suggested we both ask to spend the night. I dialed the number and gave the phone back to Maggie so she could do the actual talking. She knows the drill well by now, because I often have to have playdates negotiated through Maggie when we were little. Mom acquiesced, but said not to stay up too late. Maggie hung up and redialed her house. I returned to the living room to hopefully save Elise from any scrutiny regarding the state of our breath from her father. He didn't seem to suspect anything of us. and after smiling at his guest sleepily, retreated back upstairs. We made a compromise at that point to stick with E.T. It had something for all of us, as Elise has always claimed to be terrified of the E.T. model. We left the lamp off after her father left and settled in for what we knew would be the final movie of the night. While I wasn't big on the taste of wine, I found my glass empty sooner than I had anticipated. I felt warm in the glow of the TV and fell asleep before the movie finished. I was last to wake up because the day was overcast enough to keep the light from disturbing me. Maggie nudged me as soon as she was conscious enough. Elise didn't bother us because her whole family tends to be early risers because of the farm work her dad does. Maggie and I padded into the kitchen following the smell of pancakes. The Baum family was in full swing. Pancakes seemed to be the Saturday family tradition there. I offered to help in any way I could, but they were moving like clockwork all on their own. So Maggie and I resorted to setting the table and then sitting out of the way. The pancakes were great, and the orange juice was exactly what I needed. Elise's dad brought in the newspaper and announced that a decent amount of snow was expected this evening. Elise said we were welcome to stay later, but we decided it was better to beat the weather. It was only then that I realized my overnight bag did not include toothpaste, so I borrowed from Elise before offering Maggie a ride home. I dropped Maggie off and let myself into the house. The temperature dropped greatly since yesterday, and I was glad to get bundled and cozy in my room again. I resisted the urge to do homework from my bed, and got so sucked into the chemistry equations, my whole day flew by. I woke the next morning to a winter/early spring wonderland. It looked to be a blizzard, judging from the wind gusting down the street. I went down to ask my parents about it. Dad said there's a winter weather advisory over half the state. He had to close the parks for the whole weekend. We agreed it was good I came home when I did, and sat to watch some sitcom. The snow kept up all night. Dad sent me out to shovel the driveway 3 times that day. There's drift building up in everyone's yard. I went to bed dreading the early hour I would have to trudge out to clear a path for our cars to leave the garage. That's when we got the fated phone call. School tomorrow was canceled. I woke in a full panic an hour after school was scheduled to start, only to be greeted by my mom. Well, as soon as she relayed that news, my boots were back on and I was rushing to Maggie's. Maggie clearly had much the same thought, and we met in the middle of the street to have a celebration. We rushed to Sarah Marie's to invite her to join, slipping on piles of the snow that kept falling into our boots. She was building a snowman with 2 of her younger siblings and their neighborhood friends. We had a brief chat before deciding it was too cold to stand around. We retrieved proper snowman decorations to finish the current snowman and quickly began rolling up a friend. We couldn't have been out more than 15 minutes when Josh and Tommy made a grand entrance. I had figured Josh would be coming over to see Sarah Marie anyway, but Tommy teased me that he could hear me all the way down the block. Apparently, snow doesn't make a sound like rain does, which seems stupid since they're both water falling from the sky. Weather is just so bizarre. Only some water makes noise, but then the wind makes noise and you can't even see it. Maggie finds it endlessly entertaining when I have to learn something like this. I confess, the embarrassment and confusion caused me to go slightly off the rails, starting a rather spectacular snowball fight. Sarah Marie's brother and both her sisters all got involved with their friends, too. Teams were changing faster than I could keep track of. Boys versus girls, older kids versus younger, Sarah Marie's family versus the rest of us. It was like the Leaf Wars all over again. Maggie only just got her cast off last week, so her mom was already stressed there would be a repeat incident and made me promise I'd keep her from making rash decisions. As if that had ever stopped us before. Ethan Piero arrived at some point amidst the chaos, which he used to his full advantage to snipe a perfect shot at Maggie's chest. She fell dramatically into a snowdrift and insisted he pick her up. The party dispersed not long after that. Everyone was cold and hungry, and so Tommy walked me home where I was greeted by a perfect swiftness of Minnie Marshall.
God, she was so normal and happy. Is. No, was. I can't talk about her like she's gone. But now I'm reading about a version of her I'll never meet. It all just brings up so many more questions. I've been trying to avoid the what-ifs, but my mom is gone. Gone, as in not here to help me deal with this. It's like a grief I'm not allowed to fully access yet. Of course this feels like grief. I just don't understand, Mom. Is this how you felt when Grandpa James... You know why your dad is gone. And it's terrible. And it'll never get easier. And I know that. But you know why. You know how. The not knowing is the hardest part. I don't know anything. This episode of Things Unsaid was written and directed by Julia Wallach. The part of Paige Gilbert was played by Julia Wallach. The part of Detective Wilson was played by Joseph Alahoag. Want to show your support for our show? Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Unsaid Podcast for updates and bonus content. Remember to rate and review us on iTunes. And if you would like to advertise on our programs, feel free to message any of our social media pages. Thanks for listening.